This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Taxation Committee to order. I want to welcome everybody in the audience, and I want to welcome everybody that's on the internet listening. We should have an interesting meeting today. I want to remind everybody to turn their cell phones on silent. You don't have to turn them off, but please have them on silent. And if they ding every time a mail comes in, that does not count as silent. So we will send a page to ferret out those phones and have the well, – anyway, you get the point. Speaking of pointing, most committees have penalties for having a cell phone go off during a meeting, like jerky or a fine. Here you just get the almighty pointy finger for 30 seconds from everybody. And with that, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Komak?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Stalzer?
Here.
Frerichs?
Here.
Colbeck?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
We have a quorum.
I'm Braden Peters. I go to West Central High School, and I don't know where I want to go, but I want to go into sports medicine.
Yes. She looked familiar.
My name is Ellie Moon. I am from Wall. I go to SDSU now to major in animal science, and I'm representing FFA today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have Olivia here.
Hello, I'm Olivia Heineke. I'm from Sisseton. I'm representing FBLA, which is Future Business Leaders of America. And next year, I plan on going to Butler University for art and design with pre-med and a minor in neuroscience.
Oh, my gosh. That's my specialty. You'll probably be better at it, though. And our page has finally got here. That's great. She's a good one to come in, identify yourself for everybody, and tell us where you're headed. And
all right, I'm Kylan Olson. I'm from Wabe, and I'm a junior at Wabe High School. I currently plan on majoring in psychology, but I'm undecided on where I'll go to school at.
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you. If I may add to Ms. Olson, her grandfather served out here in the legislature, so Morris Olson was a lawmaker.
Runs in the family.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're glad to have her here. Thank you.
Are there any other personal privileges or introductions? Or I think we probably covered quite a few people there. We have House Bill 1143 and House Bill 1076. Can you of deference to Representative Allers, would you like to take that bill first, or I just want
then I can go over to State Fairs.
Okay. We'll just do that. Come on up here, and we'll, which bill are you on? We'll take up House Bill 1143 with a prime sponsor here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. State Senator Ryan Maher, District 28, which includes Harding, Perkins, Corson, Dewey, Zeebach, and Butte counties. I think part of Montana and North Dakota, a few other ones. Anyway, it's just big country. 1143 is a result of a study. This summer, the South Dakota Office of Hearing Examiners had a decision before him with the Highmore Herald School District and then also with Hyde County. And in there, the Highmore Herald School District was renting teacher housing to non-teacher staff. They had gone into the business of rental property. Well, the Office of Hearing Examiner says that once you do that, that school housing is now subject to property taxes. And with their one swell swoop of their pen, they sucked in a whole bunch of other school districts across western South Dakota that also have teacher housing that they are now forced to pay property taxes on. So this is before this property taxes are beginning to be assessed and claimed and the county gets the money and the city gets the money, we brought a bill to put into clarification that if a school district is going to be in the rental housing business, that housing must be occupied by a certified teacher, and then therefore it would be exempt from property taxes, allowing those schools to use that as a recruitment tool for their teaching staff to get them into the rural isolated areas of our state. However, if that school district has that housing available and they're going to rent it to Mr. Joe on the street, then they should be subject to property taxes, and that's what we're trying to do. I would also give the committee another state statute out there is 13-24-9, and it's the school board shall have the power to erect, acquire, equip, and dispose of school and accessory buildings. And it goes into, in there, it talks about dwellings for teachers, homes, and other structure, fences, and enclosure as the board deemed necessary. In this hearing, Office of Hearing Examiners, they never cited that statute. They just cited the statute in front of you. But I would also just point out that it is talked about in other statutes where the school districts have the power or the authority to construct and have housing for their teachers. With that, Mr. Chairman, I've got some gentlemen here from Eagle Butte, who are the business manager for Eagle Butte and one of their school board members, and they would like to talk to you about what teacher housing means for them. So thank you.
Thank you. I think we'll hold questions till after all the proponents have testified.
It because teacher housing is a big thing for Eagle Butte. We have approximately 104 employees, 51 of which are certified teachers, and we have 19 housing rentals, and 22 of our certified staff live in those housing provided by the district. So it's almost half of our certified staff, and this would be a big hit to Eagle Butte. Because virtually housing in Eagle Butte and the surrounding area is non-existent. If we're trying to recruit a teacher to come to Eagle Butte, a lot of times they decide not to come to Eagle Butte just for the sole fact that they cannot find housing. So this is a big boon for us to draw people in and retain teachers. And usually after they're in the system for 3, 4, 5 years, if they like the area, they usually will buy a trailer or buy some land somewhere, but it would be very detrimental. We have 3 different housing opportunities. It's a 3-bedroom for a family is $395 a month. A 2-bedroom is $355, and a 1-bedroom efficiency apartment is $325. And in some of these apartments, we do have husband and spouse or wife and spouse, double teachers living in them. And I will leave it at that, and if you have any questions, I'm free to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponents for House Bill 1143? Proponents. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good to see all of you and members of the committee. I'm Wade Pogany, representing the Associated School Boards, and I just wanted to add our support for this bill. I do want to make one additional point, and that's that if you if you understand the difficulty that we have in recruiting teachers in very remote rural areas, housing for them is usually the tipping point, whether they come or not. And so to help them keep these costs down for the school districts, some of them do have housing, like you heard from. I would also add, for example, Todd County does that too. And so this is an important piece of their program to have these rental units quite small sometimes, but that's how they can recruit teachers. So we need it, and it's a small cleanup bill. We ask for support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning. Orrin Lesmeister, Representative District 28A, Northwestern South Dakota, of course, in Dewey and Zeebah County. Don't have a lot to add. I think the proponents have pretty much hit it. But this is a tool in the toolbox that these small rural schools use to recruit a teacher in. You know, if we put a tax levy on this property, they're going to raise these rental rates up and stuff, and it becomes less attractive. So that's really our main goal here, is putting certified, qualified teachers in our school systems so we can keep teaching our kids and moving forward. So with that, I hope you support the bill and move it on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Rob Munson, Executive Director, School Administrators of South Dakota. In a prior life, I started my career as a teacher at the Marty Indian School down near Wagner, and there wasn't a lot of housing there on the reservation in Marty, but you did have Wagner relatively close. You had Pickstown, which is where I chose to live at the time. And then I became an administrator at that same school and would interview teachers coming in. And one of the first questions always asked was, is there housing available close? And we did have four units that we rented out to teachers, which was extremely handy in helping to recruit people to a populous area, even such as Marty. So I can't imagine some of these places that are quite more remote than we were there. And I do believe and support that this is a great recruiting tool, and hope you support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 1144, House Bill 1143? Any other proponents? Do we have questions of the proponents on the part of the committee?
Question.
Senator Russell.
And this is for whoever might want to answer it, but it sounded to me like the local assessor had decided to tax these items in one of these districts. I don't know if it was out of Eagle Butte or where it was. Under circumstances where the school district was renting out to non-teachers, and I, you know, that is quite interesting. But in these other districts, to get taxed for that, and they went to the Office of Hearing Examiners, and the Office of Hearing Examiners still, in circumstances where they were not renting out to non-teachers, still put the tax on and didn't find them to be exempt under the statute?
Mr. Chairman? That is correct. It was the Highmore Herald School District versus the Hyde County. And so the Hyde County assessor went out there and assessed property taxes against the Highmore Herald School District and to assess property taxes against their school housing, because that housing wasn't being utilized by a certified teacher, or they were just renting it to general public. Well, once that ruling came out, then all of a sudden, all the rest of the school districts, Dewey County, the assessor had to go out. She went to Timber Lake, had to assess all their teacher housing, because Timber Lake's been bringing in governor's houses, and they've been renting them to their teachers. And so what they've done in Timber Lake is they've dug a basement and put like little kitchenettes, so they can get out of one governor's house with a basement, they can get two teachers into a governor's house. So they got multiple that way. And then they've got like three or four, I think they got three of those governor's houses now in Timber Lake for teacher housing. And then, so then also, then it also swept in Eagle Butte. And so the county assessor had to go out and assess property taxes against all that teacher housing as of the result of this hearing, the Office of Hearing Examiner's ruling. So, yes.
So after the...
Go ahead there.
Thank you. And I'm sorry about that. So after the assessor swept up all of these clearly teacher housing and clearly school-owned property, they appealed it to the State Department. They appealed the ruling to appear to the Office of Hearing Examiners.
Yep.
And the Office of Hearing Examiners upheld the decision.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question?
Senator Colbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you, you know, I can see the need for this, and I appreciate you bringing that. What do you see any school districts that might take advantage of this, and not necessarily the ones in your area or the smaller ones that are testifying today, but in larger areas where they may get into the rental business as an incentive to draw teachers to that community and compete against the local business people? Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, considering the good Senator Colbeck is from Sioux Falls and there's others on the committee from Sioux Falls, that's going to tie up a lot of resources because you just don't go out and buy a house in Sioux Falls for pennies on the dollar like you do in Western South Dakota, I would imagine. You can buy a house in Isabel for $500 and go burn it down.
I've heard that's been done.
the cost of, so you got school districts like Timberlake that's bringing in a governor's house for, you know, $70,000 plus setup fee. They're getting into this housing market for relatively cheap. I would not imagine your bigger school districts are going to want to venture down that road. You've got realtors in the area. You come to Western South Dakota, where do you go to find out what housing is available? You go to the local newspaper office or you go to the local bar and start asking what house is available. Because there are no realtors. The gentleman from the business manager from Eagle Butte brings up a good point. You've got to live in a community for about 3 to 5 years to figure out what's going to come available, what is available, who has it available, and how to access it. And it takes a while to get into those rural communities. To come to rural South Dakota and want to live is a long, long process because first you've got to find a place to live because they don't come open every day. Unless you can find somebody that has a little bit of a rental property, then live there for a while until you eventually can find some place to buy. But first, in order to find a place to rent, you got to come to the local bar. Then you got to go to order the local newspaper's office to do that because who's a local real estate agent in Isabel, South Dakota? You're talking to him because, well, I happen to know where just about everybody lives and what's available. So,
go ahead, Senator Colbeck.
Do you post those listings on your bulletin board as you walk in the front door?
If somebody has a flyer, yes.
Senator Otten.
Are these all single occupancies or are we stacking 4 or 5 teachers in some of these dwellings?
Go ahead.
The gentleman from Eagle Butte, Mr. Watt, he could come up and tell, he's got some duplexes and fourplexes and talk about that, how many they've got living in these houses.
I'm Keith Watt, Eagle Butte School District. I'm the business manager. The majority of our apartments, if we do have 2 people in there, it's a husband, spouse. We recently had some foreign exchange teachers come from the Philippines, and in those, we did have up to 3 different certified teachers living in a 2-bedroom. So, yes, we do stack the teachers when it's agreeable to them, and it's not over, you know, you don't want 5 people, 6 people in one apartment, but we do stack them, yes.
Thank you, Senator Un.
On the pay, is this when they get their place of living, is this included in their pay structure?
Go ahead.
Sir, it is deducted from their monthly rent. So if they are stacked, say they're in a 3-bedroom, it's $395, they each pay 1/3 of it if there's 3 of them. Does that answer your question, or do you...
Thank you. Are there any other questions on the part of the committee? I guess either one can answer these questions. Well, you have to answer this one, Senator Maher. keep saying people have to go to the bars. There are more than one bar.
No. And I burned them down.
I actually have some questions here. Are all rented, right?
Yes, and in the instance of, and Mr. Watt can testify this too, in the event that they do have an opening in one of those houses, they leave it open until they need it for teacher. They do not go and rent it to the private market.
Okay.
And then usually what they do is, if they have an open unit, they go in and rehab it.
Okay. So there's no other use for these. And all right. Right off the bat, it sounds okay to me. are there instances where they do sell them, or is it just school property and it just stays that way?
It traditionally, this is a new realm. So the gentleman, Mr. Watt, can testify this too. But in terms of, like, this is kind of a new avenue that they've gone down. They've only had these governor houses in their roles in their district for the last probably 4 or 5 years. So this is a new venture, trying to attract teachers into the area, because housing is becoming shortage out in our part of the world. You just don't have carpenters building houses every day. So this is a new avenue in order to get teachers. It's an avenue that they had to go down.
Okay. I've got a couple more questions. The tax money the rent money, who determines that? And when it, I guess I don't get it, because what I see is Enterprisers pushing the envelope, and I don't understand what level the rent's going to be set at and what determines that.
Usually what you've seen is the local school board's going to establish that rental rate. And then I can speak to Timberlake's case. What they've established the rental rate is enough to make the payment on the home, enough to cover that, just a wash, enough to cover the payment, the insurance, and the maintenance and repair. And I know that's what Eagle Butte has done too. They've established that rental rate enough to cover the cost of the house, maintenance and repair, and so it's not a money making enterprise for them. They've just done it to cover their costs. As how they've established their rental rate.
Okay, thanks. And where this type of situation exists is, just off the top of your head, how many places in the state that you know of?
That's a question for Mr. Watt. He actually did that survey.
Okay, yeah. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm back. I'm Keith, representing Eagle Butte. I sent out a mass emailing to all business managers in South Dakota. I had 7 reply back that this would affect them. And that answers that question. The next question on the rent. The rent was set by the school board, as Senator Maher said, just to cover maintenance. We just put a new roof on. That was $163,000. And we generate probably close to, if everything's full, approximately $78,000 in rental income. And when somebody moves out and the unit is empty, we go in and we put new carpet, linoleum, general upkeep. Door might have to be replaced here, or a cabinet. But it is not a moneymaker for the school district. It is a service provided to attract certified teachers to our school district. And when one's empty, it sits empty until we get a certified person in. It's a drawing point. When they come, they have a place to stay, and it helps us retain and recruit teachers.
Yeah, that kind of exhausts my questions, I guess. So thank you very much. Any other questions with proponents? Do we have opponents to House Bill 1143? Do we have any opponents? I guess we don't have any reason for rebuttal, and that being the case, we'll close it to committee discussion and or action. Senator Kamak.
I move do pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Frerichs to move House Bill 1143 to the Senate floor, do pass. Is there any discussion on that motion?
I would just have some comments in that if anybody should be familiar with the situation, we're 50 miles from any municipality, and housing is always an issue, whether you want a new preacher or a new teacher. And so anything that's going to help that situation, certainly we should try to accommodate that.
Thank you. Senator Russell?
Yeah, I'd like to comment, and from a little different perspective. I of course, support this. When I walked in here today, I didn't know exactly what, you know, you always got to watch Senator Maher and what he's up to. But on this particular one, I'm sorry, got a little too personal.
Not getting personal.
But what I understand the situation to be from the testimony today is that, you know, normally this particular section of code would take care of this situation. In fact, I think that it should have. You know, one school district that makes an economic decision, unfortunately, this shows that again, that if they get outside the realm of where they're probably supposed to be, some bad facts make some bad law. And it's unfortunate that that in that circumstance, there was a decision made that impacted all of these other districts that were playing by the rules and doing essentially what this statute provided for. The concern that I've got is more along the lines that you had an odd situation in one or two school districts impact every other school district in the state that was doing it appropriately. And but even more disturbing to me, the blanket Department of Revenue statement that we're going to tax all these school districts, even more disturbing to me is the idea that the Office of Hearing Examiners didn't simply rely on the statute that we're trying to amend to come to a decision that was favorable to these other school districts that weren't offending anything. We have an anomaly that the department took as an opportunity to raise taxes and put out some kind of a statement that all these things are to be taxed, one, misapplying the statute, and then the Office of Hearing Examiners, the appeal process in the state where you have lawyers sit down and they listen to the school district, the school district's lawyer comes in and says, hey, you're misapplying the statute here. They upheld this decision that affected all of these school districts. So our safety valves really didn't work. And I think that the clarification that we have here today is good because it obviously fixes a problem. But from my perspective, the good senator from Eagle Butte shouldn't have had to go through this process. The Office of Hearing Examiners should have caught this and taken care of it. But it's always good to make it even more clear. So I thank you for bringing it. I'm sorry that you've had to go through this process, that it wasn't caught earlier. But the representative, Lesmeister and Maher, are certainly doing due diligence here and correcting a mistake that shouldn't have been made. So I thank them for that.
Other discussion, Senator Otten?
I'm a little perplexed on the entirety of it. When you mention a parsonage or a church, you'd have a parsonage, and when you bring in a preacher, that parsonage is part of that package of, we're going to pay you X, and here's your parsonage. This is all part of the package. I'm having a little consternation over the thought of, here we've got people coming in. I get that there's no place to put the teachers. So the board, school board, is very ingenious. They come up with a place to put them, but it's not part of the package. They are having to pay for still residence on it. And I understand you get into a whole another deal, and I've got no clue how I'm going to vote at the end of the day on this thing, but I'm just having some consternation over, are we opening another door down the line to another place? So.
Senator Frakes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank the legislators for bringing this bill. I think it just makes sense. Just a little bit of concern, and I don't know that you can ever really clarify everything, but when it says certified teacher, I know when I finished teaching, I still was certified for a few years. I could have kept the certification up, but I didn't. And so that's the only thing. But the fallback on it is it's up to the school district to ensure that they keep that housing for the certified staff they're employing, not just somebody that's certified who isn't teaching or anything else. So I'm not worried, but that's just something that occurred to me a little bit when thinking about the situation. In the end, housing is important in rural areas, and I do not worry about these schools competing with private industry because it's a crisis all throughout our state in rural areas. So I applaud the school districts that work to develop this. I support the bill.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? When the bill was brought, I had the same suspicions as Senator Russell. Personally, so I'm going to gavel myself down and on that too. But what I see going on here, I can see that we have a real need for this because. When you're talking about Eagle Butte and other places that are really way out there, Isabel, that I can see where you'd have problems getting housing. And I'm wondering now if this is going to go into public, private, some type of agreements on land to bring other entities out there and try to get what are all our other programs out to get these other special people out here. I have these problems with it, but I see that the confusion is that we're going to start getting other people other than just teachers with special deals. But I can see that that's not the attempt here. So hoping that it stays at this point rather than being expanded in the future, I think it's a real good bill, and you've changed my attitude toward it. So thank you. If there's no other discussion, then we're going to close it to a vote by the committee. And so the motion is do pass on House Bill 1143. Secretary will take the roll, and those who are in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Kamak?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Kolbeck?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Seven yeas, no nays.
Having received a majority vote, House Bill 1143 will pass to the floor with a do pass motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kamak.
I have moved consent.
No. Okay. Senators, House Bill 1143 moves to the Senate floor.
Yeah, not Brad.
South Dakota Senate Taxation Committee will now take up House Bill 1076. Are there proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Senator Chris Langer, District 25. Very good morning. I get to come in front of you, Senator. House Bill 1076 was brought to us Senator Ahlers kicked this off and passed it through the House. This allows a township tax levy for fire protection to include emergency medical services. Townships have been finding emergency medical services until a judge ruled this practice illegal. They had been funding that. This bill gives the authority but does not mandate townships to use this for EMS services. Many of our fire protection and emergency medical services already cohabitate, so this flexibility can increase efficiencies, encouraging other EMS and fire protection services to collaborate. This flexibility allows townships to effectively address the needs of citizens. It does not create a new tax, but it does allow them the flexibility to put into the EMS fund as they see fit. So with that, I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Other proponents. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Representative Dan Ahlers from District 25. I do have a letter here, too, from the Minnehaha County Board of Commissioners. Pass that out. It's just a letter of support for this bill. And as Senator Langer alluded to or stated earlier, this is just a common sense bill, creates flexibility in a time where we're looking at reduced funding for our emergency medical services, reductions in Medicaid, and more proposed cuts coming. This is just a way for our local governments to find ways to collaborate and work together and to use their limited resources in the best possible and most efficient ways. The Minnehaha County towns and townships was here testifying in the House on behalf of this bill, and unfortunately their president was not able to be here today to testify on this, but is in support of it. And I will stand by for any additional questions you might have.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Maynard Konechny from Kimball, South Dakota, been an EMT for 43-plus years, and representing the South Dakota EMS Association. We support this bill. We've discussed this, and any time that we can get an avenue to help fund our emergency medical services along with our fire departments, this does not put a new tax in. It basically... The tax is there already, up to $1.20 per thousand. And what was happening was on the eastern side of the state, some of the townships were helping to support their emergency medical services. And a judge a couple years ago ruled that the statute says only fire departments. So we're adding the EMS into it to support them that they were paying anyway with the monies they had. And as Mr. Ahlers said, with the cuts in Medicare and Medicaid funding in South Dakota that are coming down unless they get them reinstated. Anytime we can find some money for our rural ambulances, we're more than happy. So we urge your support of House Bill 1076, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there other proponents for House Bill 1076? Other proponents? Do we have questions of the from the committee? Senator Furick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure who will be one of the sponsors, but my question is, how does this legislation impact? I know in my county, or for that matter township, we have a special district for ambulance. You know, I'm part of the Grant Roberts district, and they have their own levy, and that seems to work pretty well. What's the difference on this, or why do the townships have to be involved in it?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Maynard Konechny again from Kimball. If you have an ambulance district, this will not affect this. This is where there is no ambulance district, and they've maybe tried to get one, and they can't get the vote of the people to do it, but the townships have extra money that they want to help support emergency medical services along with the fire departments. This gives them that avenue to assist the ambulances over and above the fire departments. But if you have an ambulance district, which I believe there's 13 or 14 of them in the state, I have a list of them if you need them, but this would not affect them. It would just be those that are not, don't have an ambulance district set up, and they can collect the funds for fire department according to the statute now, and they're just adding the emergency medical services to it at this time.
Thank you, Mater.
Thank you. Do we have other questions of the proponents, part of the committee? Maynard, good. I'd like to have you come back up here. Thank you. Can you tell me how many townships this is going to affect that actually are asking for this?
Mr. Chairman, this was asked in the House committee also, and we looked at the township chairman, their lobbyist, and she couldn't answer that for sure. It really doesn't, the dollar amount is already set, and most of them are not even probably levying for that dollar amount, but they have extra money. And as I said, they were putting it toward ambulances, and then the court ruled that the statute says only fire departments. So we just want to add, if they have extra money and they want to assist an ambulance or emergency medical services, they could.
Thank you. What you said was if they have extra money, then they can use that fire money. Does this have a ceiling on increases in levies in future years?
No, just $1.20 is what statute is at this point. It would have to be increased.
Good with that. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Do we have any opponents to House Bill 1076? Any opponents? Going once, going twice. No reason for a rebuttal then. If there's nothing else, we'll close it to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Colbeck.
I make a motion that we do pass House Bill 1076.
Second.
Moved by Senator Colbeck, second by Senator Kamak. Move House Bill 1076 to the floor. Do pass. Is there any discussion on that motion? Senator Russell.
The way I read the statute, and I don't know if I'm incorrect in my assessment here, but if the tax levy is insufficient to meet other allowable expenses, fire protection expenses, and additional tax for the purpose of fire, providing fire protection may be levied. So this is over and above what's statutorily allowed for the $1.20 per thousand of taxable valuation. So by adding this additional set of entities, are we allowing another potential $1.20 per thousand over and above what would currently be the maximum levy? Is that how I'm understanding this? I would defer to other members of the committee on their discussion for purposes of discussion.
Okay. Senator Kamak.
And you're probably the guy to answer the question because you're in the business, but the way I read it, it reads other allowable expenses, fire protection, and expenses for EMT. It looks like to me it's lumping those together in the statute the way it reads. So I don't believe that would be the case. That's my opinion.
I don't know if we could open
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Russell.
I know I'm a little behind the curve here, but is there some chance that we might be able to ask that question of the proponents of the bill, even at this late stage?
We're doing pretty well here. But Senator Representative Bowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for the question, Senator Russell. This tax levy already exists and is being used. It's capped at 120 per thousand. You would not be able to increase that tax without a vote of the members of that township. So all we did was we included EMS in there. It doesn't expand or increase that tax, just the allowable use for it. And in those areas, a lot of those fire departments and EMS are housed together. So that's how some of this came about, where they were funding both. It's just increasing flexibility, but not increasing the tax.
Thank you. The way I read this, if the EMS takes up all the money, then there's nothing left for fire. Does anybody else in the committee have a comment on that? Senator Kamak?
I go back to, this is townships. And if the townships across the state are anything like the townships that I'm dealing, that I have familiar with, it's more of a family discussion. And so in those cases, they know the needs of the community. And so it's not so much a competition between fire and EMT. It's more a discussion about need. And so my wife has been an EMT for over 20 years. I know what it's like to have the phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning. And these folks basically are volunteers that get paid a few bucks. But so anytime, and a lot of times the folks that are on the fire department are the EMTs also, in rural areas. So these two organizations, especially in rural areas, and especially where it applies to townships, are literally joined at the hips. And so I have no concerns about that at all. And I know that the fire departments and the EMTs, like I said, unless it's a different situation in other parts of the state, it's not going to be a turf battle. It's going to be an understanding of the needs, so I don't have a problem with that.
Thank you. Senator Russell.
And my concerns are alleviated because the fact that my concern was, is we're expanding another opportunity for another exemption specific, but the fact that they're lumped together, they've already got this permissible taxing authority up to that point, so I have no objection to it.
Okay, is there any other discussion? It's been moved, seconded to take House Bill 1076 to the Senate floor, do pass. There's no other discussion. We'll have the Secretary call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Kamak?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Frericks?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Seven yeas, no nays.
Having received a majority vote, House Bill 1076 will move to the Senate floor, do pass. Senator Kamak?
Is this particular bill, would it be appropriate to ask for it to be
respectfully.
It's always appropriate.
Anyways, I think it's big, significant enough change, but I don't know that it would. It's not a new tax.
Regardless of Frerichs, it wouldn't. It could go on the consent, but since he's at.
No other discussion of the bill. Okay. Is there anything else to come before the committee? If not, the chairman will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Kolbeck, second by Senator Frerichs. Adjourn. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.